fever down in my soul. That alpha fever. Zoom, zoom, zoom. My brother, I love my black and gold.
Ooh, sis.
I got the fever all in my body. The fever down in my soul. That alpha fever.
Welcome to episode 3 of First Impulse. This is the official podcast of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated's Pi Upsilon Lambda chapter. Pi Upsilon Lambda is located in Prince George's County, Maryland. We service the surrounding area. I am Mike Richardson, Spring 22 initiate of the Pi Upsilon Lambda chapter, and I am joined by my big brother, the second vice president of Pi Upsilon Lambda, Brother Craig Trower. Welcome to First Impulse.
Oh man, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here and to be a part. Like I said, thanks for inviting me. This is really, really dope.
So this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about Prince George's County and the type of things that the chapter does in the county. So the way I look at it, and I don't know if everyone sees it the same way, but as we approach, by the time this airs, the movie will be out, Wakanda Forever. I look at Prince George's County as a kind of Wakanda. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because Prince George's County has a high concentration of African Americans. And those African Americans, because of the federal government and all of the economy that sprawls from that, that group is well resourced. And so there's culture here, but there's also resources here to actually do a lot of work in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. This chapter, as I said, is focused in Prince George's County, Maryland. But because we are drawing from that federal government effect, we're able to actually do a lot of good things in the county. So, Big Brother, as you have, before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit about your Alpha history.
Yes.
How did you come to Alpha, and what is it that you love about Alpha in this chapter?
Wow, great question. So, you know, I'm a product of Prince George's County, so I had a really, really strong village. So from elementary school, I had a black male for a principal, some really solid teachers that really loved on us and cared about us. And so same thing in the church. I just had really, really great leaders and men that I could model my life after. And, you know, once I think I got to high school and was considering colleges and things, I started kind of finding out that a lot of the men that I looked up to and that I emulated were alpha men. And so, you know, I said, okay, you know, I just kind of did a mental check. And I was very much aware of the whole Greek life because of my uncle and aunt. My uncle was a Q and my aunt was an AKA. And so, you know, I was exposed to the Divine Nine, if you will, but it just seemed like the alpha men just somehow resonated with me. They mm-hmm. they always seemed to be leaders. They always seemed to be academic and scholarly, and they cared about the community and, you know, where they were serving. And so that kind of just, that's kind of how I just said, this is alphas, that just is me. Mm-hmm. I saw leaders. I saw men who changed the landscape and fabric of this country. Mm. And so I just said, I want to be a part of that. Even though I was not able to do it in undergrad, you know, I said one day when the time is right and everything aligns that I will seek out membership, you know, through an alumni chapter. So I stumbled upon Pi Upsilon Lambda and a good friend of mine at church who happened to be active, you know, most of the Greeks I knew at the time that had pledged undergrad were no longer active or financial or what have you. But Frank Malone and I, you know, had become friends, and I noticed that he was actively involved with his Alpha chapter. And I said, okay, let me investigate and see what's going on there. And I started coming to PUL events. Mm-hmm. And just kind of scoping them out. Like I said, I'm just going to check them out and see what they're doing. And I
let me pause right there. Mm-hmm. How'd you hear about the various PUL events?
So Frank, of course, would tell me, and this was, I guess, back in, and same thing, social media, you know. So Frank would always say, hey, we're doing this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. Or I would go online and see that, you know, the chapter was having some kind of function in the county. So I said, okay, you know, I'm going to go and check it out and see what's going on. And I was just impressed at the amount of activity and service that the chapter was doing here in Prince George's County. And so, and the brothers just genuinely seemed to like each other. They work well together. The programs were well put together. And I was like, man, you know, I wanted to be a part of it. And so, you know, I expressed an interest. And the rest is history. You know, I crossed in spring 2016, and I jumped in with both feet, and I've been rolling, you know, with it ever since.
Wow. Okay, so being a product of the county and having the history that you just described, what are some needs that you see that are specific to this county that the chapter is able to address and support? And I ask that question because we're just outside of the nation's capital. So, as I said, there's a lot of federal government presence here, but then there are also some specific needs that are coming out of that, but then also in this county. Mm-hmm. So how is the chapter identifying and addressing those needs?
Absolutely. So, you know, in the 6 years that I've been a part of the chapter, you know, one of the things that I really noticed, and even though, you know, Prince George's had the designation of, you know, one of the wealthiest black county in America, there still were some serious needs. There were food deserts. We have a large contingency of our youth that live in single-parent homes. And I learned that through, you know, being a mentor in our Youth Leadership Development Institute, or YLDI. But was really amazed at how many young boys and kids didn't have a father figure. Or someone that could really mentor them and kind of coach them and walk alongside them, and, you know, through those developmental years. And so, and of course, when the pandemic hit, it really exposed some of the infrastructure, you know, issues that we had here in the county. And so the chapter, you know, was able to jump in and, you know, do food giveaways, and, you know, in conjunction with our charitable foundation. But we did several food distributions, mm-hmm. where we would partner with like local schools or a local organization that said, hey, we need to partner up with some folks that don't mind coming together, throwing together some boxes of food and having people drive up and get some food to help them get through a rough time. And we still do. We actually, like, there, as much as we like to think there's, you know, everybody's doing well, everybody's got their good government job or their good contracting job, there are families who still struggle. And so we are, you know, partnering with some of our local elementary schools to make sure that the families have food. We partner with Share, and we do food distributions on a monthly basis. During the holidays, of course, we make sure that there are needs that are met. We, like I said, partner up with our local principals and say, hey, what families in your school need help? And we meet those needs. So absolutely, you know, have seen that we are, you know, boots on the ground here in Prince George's County to say, hey, there's a need, and we have the resources to meet those needs. And so we're out there. That's what I really love, is that we're benefiting the county that, you know, made us.
Yeah, so you mentioned YLDI as part of that. Can you talk a little bit about, I think we're going to do a separate episode specifically mm-hmm. dedicated to YLDI.
Yes.
But just for the people listening, what is Youth Leadership Development Institute?
So the fraternity has four national programs, but Project Alpha is one of them, where we kind of develop our youth. And we have one part of it that just discusses sexual health and responsibility and that kind of thing. But YLDI, we take it an even step further, where we meet with them on a weekly basis. I want to say we usually run it from like January to May. Mm-hmm. And we choose different topics that those youth need. So like social media, how to, you know, manage social media presence. etiquette, how to tie a tie, how to sit down and at a formal meal, and mm-hmm. how to use your utensils, and what is placed where, and how to butter your bread, and, you know, have good table manners and all that good stuff. Yeah. You know, interviewing skills, conflict resolution. That's one of the things we're seeing, is that kids today, they face a lot more in terms of the violence and all the social media bullying and everything else that's going on. It is a lot different than when we were coming up. So helping kids to kind of manage the conflict and the relationships that are a lot different than what we had to deal with. Because, like you said, everything happens in real time now. Everything goes viral. It's out on the web. You know, if we got into a fight back in the day, it didn't get around the school, you know, unless it was the grapevine, you know, or what have you, or people saw it. But we didn't have to deal with stuff getting around social media and all that kind of stuff. So we really take the kids out on field trips, give them exposure to different experiences, just immerse them in the culture and expose them to some things that they may not have been exposed to, you know, had we not been there.
And what are the age ranges for that program?
We generally start around sixth grade, so like I guess 11, 12, and then up to eighth or ninth grade. So we try to capture them in that really, really transitional period when they're going from, you know, the kids elementary phase to middle school, high school, and they're really struggling with their identity and, you know, who they are and what they're going to be and acceptance with their peers. We really try to capture them during that really critical transition phase.
That's awesome. So I remember my first exposure to the chapter was around this time of year. There was a coat drive that was held at a high school. And at the time, I didn't know any alphas in the area. And so what I did, I just followed the chapter on social media, PUL 1906. And I saw that there was a coat drive. So I said, okay, well, you know, I can get some coats up there. So I drove up there and I ran into Brother President Kevin Stewart, mm-hmm. who is the president now. He wasn't the president then. And Brother Steve Robinson, who is now the current first vice president, and had a good conversation with them. And I just liked that they were doing something that was simple to do. Like, it's not like I had a ton of coats sitting around, but on my way up there, you know, you stop by Burlington, grab a couple joints, mm-hmm. go up to the school, and then you helping somebody. And it's that easy, just following the chapter on social media and then going up there to actually do it and then make the connection. So mm-hmm. what type of events does the chapter engage in during this time of year, where we know you got needs for food around Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. And then you also have, as you move into the Christmas holiday, there's a ton of needs that could be addressed at that time.
I'm glad you brought up the coat drive, because that is definitely one that we've started within the last, I think, four or five years. Interestingly enough, that was with a partnership with one of our— he's an alpha. He's a principal at Potomac High School, Brother Laney. But same thing, he expressed the need, said, hey, there's a population of my students that don't have decent coats, you know, going into the wintertime. So we were like, okay, we got it. You know, this is something that's easy. Like you said, this is an easy lift. We can ask the brothers to donate coats, new, used, mm-hmm. but just in good, you know, good condition, you know, clean. And We sent out the call, and brothers overwhelmingly responded. And so we've done that every year. So the coat drive, absolutely the Thanksgiving baskets. We definitely make sure that we take care of our families that are going into the holidays, maybe with not as many resources as they would. So we make sure that they have a nice Thanksgiving dinner. Even before the pandemic, we went to Villa Rosa Nursing Home and did caroling. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was another great, great thing that we like to do, because our seniors and folks that are in nursing homes a lot of times are forgotten. They may not get regular visits from their family. And so it was really, really uplifting to go into, you know, Villa Rosa and just for evening, go around and sing Christmas carols and just kind of lift their spirits and let them know, hey, you're not forgotten. You know, the men of Alpha, you know, have not forgotten you. We love on you, and, you know, spend that time with them. So, yeah, this time of year, and, you know, the pandemic kind of changed that. You know, we couldn't go into nursing homes and things, and I think they're starting to open back up. So I'm hopeful we can get back to that, you know, because it really was a great, great, you know, time of year to go and do the Christmas caroling in the nursing homes.
Yeah, so this is a special time of year because we're able to give back in so many ways. And then even though I may look at the county as Wakanda, everyone may not have that experience with the county. Mm-hmm. You know, depends on where you are in the county. You may have some needs, some simple, some complex, that can be addressed. So they could be, as we talked about, as simple as a code or caroling, just hearing someone visiting you during the holidays after you've had a whole life of family, and now all of a sudden your family's not there anymore. But simple to the complex needs where people actually need food to get through the holidays. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to just reach out and be mindful of serving in this community in those ways, in addition to all of the other ways that we serve. And then it's not just Alpha Phi Alpha. It's also other Divine Nine organizations are also serving, and we partner with other organizations. And we'll talk through that a little bit later in this episode. But I do appreciate the work that the orgs are doing to actually address the needs in the county, because some people need it and some people have it. So let's share.
Absolutely. It's here. It's like I said, we have what we need right here in the county. There's no need for us to go outside to get what we need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not like, so it's not like D.C. in the county, where D.C. has excessively affluent areas, and then they have the opposite.
Right.
And you can find those. In Prince George's County is different. You may have the affluence, but then you don't really have, let's say, a high homeless population or people experiencing homelessness. But those needs are there. Like, the families who are just without during a time when they really, really need it. So
absolutely.
Thanks, Brother Trial, for coming and sharing a little bit about what the chapter is doing with us. We hope that you've learned something about what we do here. As always, follow us at PUL1906 or check out the website PUL1906.org to see what the chapter is doing, to see where you can join in if you feel so inclined, or you want to help somebody. This is the season to start blessing some people, and we hope you join us.
Absolutely.
So we're welcoming to the podcast my brother, my special brother, Andrew Shepherd, who is the chairman of the PACE committee. Welcome.
What's going on? Appreciate you, brother. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so first, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Brother Trower. What is it that you love about Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated and also the Pi Epsilon Lambda chapter?
That's a good question. Let's see. So not many people know I am an only child, or I grew up as an only child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you are an only child, you know, I always tell people, you know, you fall on two spectrums. You know, you're kind of good on your own, and, you know, you have a very self-serving, almost selfish way of viewing life and people. Or the other spectrum is that because you are the only child and you enjoy people's company, that's something that you want. I fell on that spectrum. So when I started, you know, my initial research into organizations that I could be a part of, I took inventory about how I relate to them, or how, like, my views are in alignment with them. So specifically when it came to Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, they're just everywhere. And when they interact with one another, as far as the brotherhood's concerned, it's just A1, it's top tier in comparison to other organizations. So for me in particular, it's always been about the brotherhood for me at the end of the day, because once you have that strong foundation, then you're able to accomplish other things that, you know, the organization and that chapter believes in, essentially. But the Pi Upsilon Lambda chapter, I mean, it is the premier chapter, selfishly, within the MAC. You know it.
Hey,
you know it. You know, so, but it's just the sense of brotherhood, you know, how we look out for, you know, one another in and outside of the fraternity. It's something that has touched me greatly, and I'm just so honored and grateful to be a part of this chapter and wonderful organization.
Okay. So within the chapter, there's an organization called PACE, which you happen to be the newly elected chair of the organization.
Well, I would say appointed, but
newly appointed chair. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So what is PACE, and how does PACE interact and support the community?
Right. So PACE is an acronym for one of our committees. It stands for the PUL Alphas for Community Excellence. So essentially what it is the chapter's umbrella for community service activities that have a focus on community outreach and social action. And within those things, what we tend to do is we tend to point to the community in hopes that they will empower each other and empower themselves. So providing them different services and tools necessary to be able to do those things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then for the services that are required in the chapter, how does the committee go about identifying what those support needs are?
As you know, Alpha Phi Fraternity Incorporated is a huge organization. So, you know, we have brothers that occupy different industries professionally, right? Mm-hmm. We have brothers in the medical field, within law, education, medicine, public policy. So when brothers identify areas for opportunity to be able to serve the community where we see some deficiencies, we are very good at bringing those things back to the brotherhood and having the discussion about where it is that we can best serve in these particular fields, in these particular areas. That's how we typically identify you know, areas for us to be of service.
Okay. And in your time in Alpha, have you observed that Prince George's County has a specific set of needs? And the reason why I ask is because until very recently, the county has been basically the most affluent African-American county in the country, where a list of 10 cities is released. Five of them are in Prince George's County. That's recently shifted a little bit demographically to Charles County, but Prince George's County is still an affluent population of African-American people. And so have you how have you understood these specific needs related to people in this county with regard to their affluence and then the needs that they have?
Right. So my observation over the years has been that there has also been a change within PG County as far as who resides in it, right? I've seen a lot more of our Latinx brothers and sisters move into the county. Yeah. So on top of African Americans already predominantly residing in this community, now we have our brothers and sisters from the Latinx community coming in. So when we preach that we are going to serve our community, we want to make sure that we're serving everyone in our community, not just, you know, those that we identify with.
Right. So you identify the community, or we identify the community as everyone geographically in a space, not specifically racially in a space.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Because, you know, we want to make sure that we are inclusive of everyone that we serve. You know, we don't want to just, you know, pick and choose who, you know, we choose to serve or provide resources for. But specifically, what I've noticed is that particularly education with young children in schools, access to just basic supplies, you know, backpacks, you know, writing utensils, things down to food, coats. You know, a lot of these parents don't have the resources to be able to provide these things. Or to even provide new ones, because sometimes, you know, we see children, you know, with the same equipment year after year, or the same jacket year after year, and kids grow, you know what I'm saying? So they need access to resources. So I would say those basic needs are some of the things that I've seen that our community needs as far as the children and students are concerned.
Yeah, that's interesting, because where affluence exists, there's always a deficit that someone is experiencing. And so despite the fact that the county enjoys proximity to Washington, D.C., and the federal government, and all of the benefits that provides through resources, et cetera, there's still needs out there for people who are just trying to make it. And so PACE is one of those committees that identifies those needs and tries to address them. As the current committee chair, you are planning different events based on those identified needs. So what do we have to look forward to in the near term that people may want to be aware of?
Well, thanks for that, because, you know, this is an opportunity for us to be able to share with the community, you know, what we're up to. So what we have coming down the pipe is we have every year, twice a year, we typically do food boxes, frozen food boxes, and we sponsor 25 families within Prince George's County, specifically at schools that we identify where there's a need. So we do Thanksgiving food boxes as well as Christmas food boxes. You know, we're looking to expand that to hopefully, you know, do that in the spring as well. And there's always a need for food around these specific times, because again, you know, families typically are challenged with, you know, do I buy toys or do I buy food? You know, they literally make these decisions and they shouldn't have to. So where we're able to help and step in, we're happy to do so. We also have a Jingle Mingle event. It's a toy donation drive where we are partnering with the Fort Washington Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. So this event is really just a social event where it's open to the community. Admission is a new unwrapped toy. So essentially, we invite people to come out to enjoy free food. We have music. We it's at a pool hall. So we have pool. There's a cash bar. There are big screen TVs in case you want to watch the news or watch the game. But it will be on Thursday, December 8th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Corner Pocket Cafe. So, you know, if you're listening and you're able to come out and support and you want to have a good time, we definitely invite you out.
So it's like a party social event and the admission is an unwrapped toy, new unwrapped toy.
Yes, we are killing two birds with one stone. And where these toys are going to, we are donating them to 10 schools around Prince George's County. So if you want to know what those schools are, you can, you know, head to our socials, our website and our Instagram. And if you wish to support, we do have a toy list on Amazon, but all that stuff is on the flyer. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. The flyer can be found at PUL1906.
Oh, yes. Yes. So you can, if you want to keep up to date on what we're doing or where we're at in your community, you can visit our website again at www.pul1906.org, or you can reach us on our social media handles on Twitter and Instagram at PUL1906.
Okay. And then I know that there's an event that's on the way, a coat drive, which,
oh yes,
for me, the coat drive is special because that was the first event that I saw the chapter in action.
Yeah, absolutely. So and we try to make sure that our community service initiatives are easy for those who wish to participate to come through and lend their support. So, you know, if you ever, you know, catch us in your community or you're visiting the website and that is something that you are interested in doing, you know, we encourage folks to reach out to us to find ways that you can support. So I'm glad you said that, man, because, you know, that is a goal of PACE, but then also just the chapter in general is to make it friendly where, you know, those can come
through and participate. Yeah, and I think that coat drive has provided coats for, I think last count, over 500 students in the county. So the purpose of the coat drive is to provide coats to students at varying educational levels, from elementary to high school.
Yes, so specifically from pre-K to 12th grade in PG County. So this year we are doing it again, where we're going to distribute coats on Saturday, December 17th from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. We don't have a location just as yet, but as soon as we lock that down, we'll have that information on our socials as well as our website.
Okay, so what's the best way for people to learn? Like, what should they be following? If I was new, I didn't know, but I was like, this sounds cool, what should I be doing?
I would recommend Instagram. Oh, and we also have a Facebook page. So, but I would recommend Instagram, where you can set it so that once a post is made, you can be notified immediately. Because, you know, we don't all check our our websites often. But if, you know, if we as a chapter are, you know, posting updates to our socials, you can set your socials to notify you and to stay up to date with all things that are happening within PUL.
Okay. Yep. And that is PUL 1906, or at PUL PUR1906 on Instagram.
Yes.
And PUR1906
on Twitter.
On Twitter. And then Pi Upsilon Lambda.
On Facebook. So if you just type in Pi Upsilon Lambda on Facebook, you can find our page there. And you can also set notifications so that way when we post, it pops up on your newsfeed. So.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So these are some of the things we're doing in the community.
Yes, sir.
In the community and partnering with some of the organizations in the area. Doing good a little bit at a time. And we are making a difference. And looking forward to seeing you out there. Hopefully you'll find us.
Yep.
First find us on social, then find us in person. And until next week, this is First Impulse.